This is the third episode of the Honest Math Chat. Today, we will chat about thinking over answers and our math stories. Pop your earbuds in for this one, and let's dig deep into the reasons why we are the way we are in math. Then, leave with some tangible steps to start centering your students' thinking in the math classroom. Math classroom culture, math mindset, and student-centered instructional practices are just a few of the topics that we will cover on the Honest Math Chat, an elementary teacher podcast. We will feature practical ideas from teachers for all teachers. See, this podcast is all about helping you create a classroom where students are empowered to love and deeply understand math. If you want the math classroom of your dreams, or let's face it, maybe you've never dreamed about math because it's not your thing, come alongside as I, a former math hater turned math teacher cheerleader, show you how you can transform your elementary's classroom. From just getting through the math lesson each day to making math your favorite part of the day and your students' favorite part. Let's get this honest chat started, shall we? When you were a kid in math class, what mattered more, thinking or answers? I'll wait. I'm just kidding. I have a feeling I know exactly what you're going to say. It's likely the same experience that I had and the hundreds of other teachers I've talked to about this have had as well. Answers mattered more. Answers always matter more in math than thinking. Now, take a second and just reflect on your school, maybe even your own classroom. What matters more in your school? In math class, thinking or answers? Now, obviously, I don't know the answer to that one, and you might not even be ready to share that reflection, and that's fine. But today's episode is all about considering how we can make thinking matter more than answers in math class. So, the fact of the matter is people really like the aspect of math that there's only one answer. That's something you hear people say, right? Like, oh, I like math because there's only one right answer, or you always get an answer in math. That's why I'm good at it, or whatever. But you and I both know that's not actually true. But people really like the idea that 1 + 1 always equals 2. It's cut and dry. It fits in a box, and there's safety in that. When I was in high school, almost all of my math teachers were coaches. The golf coach taught me geometry. The assistant varsity basketball coach taught me senior math. And my trigonometry teacher, I can't even say the word, was the girls' basketball coach. Why? Well, I'm pretty sure that they all were there for the coaching and not the teaching. I distinctly remember one conversation I had with a math teacher about being a teacher. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher, so really, I treated all of my like high school and college years as like interviews of teachers, right? Like I was always asking them probably pretty inappropriate questions about teaching. Anyway, his take on teaching math was super easy. He said, "It's so easy to teach math. The book tells you what to teach. We're not making anything new up in this math class. It's existed for a long time," he said. "So it's not really about being creative. It's about learning the things that have already been done and then practicing them. Math's cut and dry." Okay. To me, but even back then, I hated math in high school, but that sounded freaking terrible. Like, I wanted to be a creative teacher, one that dreamed up new ways to show students things, opportunities to help my students be creative and make things and express themselves. And this was just another reason why I knew math was something I would never teach. I bet you can relate. We've all had these experiences in our own schooling. that have formed our views and ideas about what math is and why it is the best or the worst or somewhere in between. Even after I had this big change of heart, right? 10 years ago, when I decided to love teaching math instead of despising it, my eyes were opened to the fact that math could also be student-centered and give my students an opportunity to be creative and grapple with real problems instead of just watermelons and, you know, who has 49 watermelons, right? I still have to fight the urge to run away from math. Whenever I'm in a math professional development and the presenter says, "Let's do some math together," I freak out. My stomach grumbles. I actually usually roll my eyes and I think, I don't want to do this. Why? Why are they making us do this? Because that's literally what I did from a very early age until I was in my sixth year of teaching. Unwriting our habits and mindset takes time. Okay, so all that being said, have you ever really taken the time to reflect on your math story? I honestly have told, written, and thought about my math journey so many damn times that I still keep thinking about new experiences, people, moments that made me the way I am in math. So do it. Even though I'm telling you, even though I've done it probably 25 times, new things keep popping up for me. New memories I didn't even remember. So take a minute. While you're walking to the bathroom today before you get your students from gym, or while you're enjoying your first glass of wine tonight, really take some time to think about why you are the way you are with math. Then think about what you want your students' math stories to be. How are you contributing to their experience and being their math person model? We all have to have models of math people. And if our students don't have those people at home, we have to be those people. Most importantly, we have to be those people. How do you help your students develop a positive mindset about math? How do you help them see that they are a math person and that math is part of their identity? What role models in math are you introducing them to? All right, so thinking over answers in math is how this episode started. And then we took a little journey down my own math story. And now here I am urging you to reflect on your math story, because that's how deep this shit runs. We have to know where we're coming from so we can course a different path for our students. We don't want our students to leave our math classes believing that the answer is the most important thing in math. So let's talk about our action steps for today and how you are going to help your students see and know that their thinking matters more than answers. The first thing you got to stop doing is telling kids when they're right or wrong. We've got to create a culture where in our classrooms where students are in charge of justifying their reasoning and their answers, and proving why they're right. Proving to themselves, proving to their peers, proving to us why their answer is right. Now, you will come up against a lot of confusion in the lower grades and a lot of animosity in the upper grades as to why you won't just confirm or deny if their answer is correct. But it's so much better in the long run for kids to be in charge of deciding when it's right or when it's wrong. It creates lots of great opportunities for students to collaborate, to build on one another's ideas, to ask questions of each other. Try it. This week, commit to one math class period of just not telling anyone whether they're right or wrong. And then get into my DMs on Instagram, local.learners, and tell me how it went. Or leave a comment here. What happened when you stopped telling kids if their answers were right or wrong? All right, action step number two. Make sure students have time to talk. Math cannot be about thinking if we don't give students time to share their thinking. So, This could happen in a turn and talk. This could happen in a whole class discussion. This could happen in a debrief of a lesson, but you have to give kids time to describe their thinking. But also over time, that we realize that thinking develops over time. It's not going to happen overnight. So give your students time, give yourself time, and really commit to making a change of taking the emphasis off answers in your classroom and putting the emphasis on thinking. Well, that was the chat for the day, friends. I hope that it filled you up, gave you some ideas to implement tomorrow, and that you felt like you were chatting with your math teacher bestie, because that's what it's all about. If you haven't downloaded my ebook yet, 5 Steps to a Student-Centered Math Class, go right now, www.locallearnersandco.com/ebook. You'll get 5 clear steps to engage your students and drive toward real deep math understanding. As always, if you have questions or comments, make sure to let me know. Check out the show notes, and then, of course, subscribe to the podcast, because that's what you do with podcasts. Can't wait to talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day. Peace, friend.